And the same day, when the eve was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Pay attention to these verses. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind, say the wind, and the sea, obey him? Father, I thank you tonight for what you're about to bring forth. And Lord, I know that when the enemy tries to rage, that God, we're on to something good. And Lord, I believe that you have got us here this night for a purpose. Lord, let us enter into the fullness of your presence without fear or wavering. That God, your word will come alive in us. That we'll live it and do it day by day. Thank you, Lord. Before we get into verse 35, the journey begins with Jesus. There were so many in that congregation that they couldn't place him anywhere on land that he could reach everyone. So the alternative was to put him out on a boat that everyone from around the shore and upon the adjacent hills above him could hear him. Now I'm talking into a microphone tonight, but I can't imagine what kind of power he must have been under. It's amazing to me that he could be out in the middle of a boat and be able to speak to people, even when the human voice is impossible to travel that far. That should let you know that there was something far more divine than just the audible voice of Christ that was going out to that multitude. And sometimes, wherever we are, no matter how far we go, we can still find a way to hear his voice and his encouragement. And so we find him at the end of this. He was talking about things like the parable of the sower, the candle under a bushel, the coming harvest, and the mustard seed, bringing out all the virtues that were in reference to and talking about faith. He closes the day by telling them in verse 35, let us pass on over to the other side. For Jesus knew the adventure that was to come, but yet the disciples had no idea. And oftentimes, right before a storm, we have no idea of what's coming. But the confidence of Christ leading them said, let's go on over. Let us pass on over to the other side. I want to bring out a provocative thought. I want to share something just that provoked me when God brought it in my spirit. He showed me that at this point, he didn't have to let the storm come. At this point, he already had the power to bring a stillness to the wind and a calm to the waves. He had already known that he could have brought it to an end. But he saw a reason for them to go across unto the other side. The Lord knows when you don't know. And he knows when you don't get it. You don't understand why it's happening to you. You question within yourself, what could I have done better? Lord, was it me that brought this storm on myself? God, was it me that brought this storm on them? When we're in the uncertainty, all kinds of confusion tries to come. But friends, we're not without help. The Lord has put in my spirit this word for you. Sometimes you may not know when the storm's going to come, but you have who you need to get through it. No man, no woman, no establishment, no organization, no substance, no location, no bloodline, no power of love in this flesh could compare to the help that you have through Jesus Christ. No other friend will be closer to you than he will. And there will be no one closer than him when everything is falling to pieces. When it all goes wrong. They were in a place They were in smaller boats. They traveled a few together. And this particular body of water they were on was a calm body of water. Unexpected that anything would begin to rage. But you can read in different accounts of the Word of God. One word uses the word tempest. Another section you read it from, the account says boisterous winds. Forces that were unnatural to the environment. I'm trying to bring something out to you. When the enemy will strike, he's going to go after you in a place you will not expect it to come. Boisterous winds on a small pond would have never thought that it would come in a way such as this. We're all in a storm. It might be in different locations, different venues, different people, hardships, circumstance. We're all going through something. There is a reason for your storm. I'm teaching this to me too. There is a reason that you're facing this right now. You see, the disciples, as they went across, begin to feel an unexpected feelings, and fear began to set in over what they were going to do, if they were going to make it across. And they probably didn't have life jackets in these boats. They were probably lucky to have something just to get them across. They weren't prepared. They didn't have emergency kits to help them. And I wish I could tell you right now that every time that you go through something that you'll have what you need to comfort yourself. But you're not always going to be prepared for when the enemy comes against you. The Bible says that he comes as a roaring lion, raging lion. He is going out, assuming his dominance over his domain. And his domain is those that are weak enough to turn unto what he will reveal to them. He doesn't just sit by your side and say, "Here I am," and then all of a sudden you're in fear. He brings thoughts into your mind to try to discourage you. He brings thoughts upon you to make you feel less of yourself. He takes away courage. He removes boldness, tempting us to walk in life wondering if we're even going to get across this little pond. I read in the Word of God that it says that nothing is impossible to God. But he put it that it is but a small thing. What once was just a small little pond with a boisterous wind has become something totally different that we have no control over. And 99% of the time when we're going through something, it's out of our control. So why would Jesus let them go across and face this? Why didn't he just speak peace, be still, before they went across? I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I know that this is for you. Why did he not calm the raging waters? This passing across the water became the disciples' opportunity to have their faith put to the test. For Jesus knew in the will of the Father that he wasn't always going to be around to be within touching distance, to pat them on the back and say, "Thomas, it's going to be okay. Peter, it's going to be fine." But there had to be something that would extend or grow their faith. If we want victory, we also are saying we want faith. If we want blessings, what you're really asking for is faith. When you want to grow and see the enemy turn loose of your children, you're asking for faith. For in our own feeble mind, we get tunnel vision to only see what we want done. But what we're really asking for is, "God, give me the ability to believe it. Give me the confidence to believe that you can do it." But confidence is only provoked by experience. I'm a fan of the NBA. I love to watch it. And there's people that are better than others when it comes to the final playoffs that they play. And it's not because of their talent that they're successful. When it comes down to it, the people that are 35, 37 years old that's playing, which in that age they're considered dinosaurs in basketball, when they're at that age, all of a sudden, the people that you never really looked at for any help has the right word to tell you how to play the game better. Experience provokes confidence. Some of us have never really praised God in confidence. But if you'll ever thank Him for something He's done for you, then you're praising Him in confidence. And as you praise Him in confidence, it begins to provoke and stir up the gifts within you. And as the spiritual gifts begin to move, all of a sudden you're not afraid. Here we find Jesus laying in this boat upon a pillow as if nothing was happening. Down in the deep part, He laid. Do you understand where we're going? We can look on the surface in panic. We can look on the surface of what people say and how they act. We can look on the surface of how we feel in our body. And we can look around us and let the enemy provoke our minds to be shaken. But down in the depths of the boat, down in the depths of the inside of you, lies something that is asleep, ready for you to call out on, that when it arises in you, it brings a calm to the storm. Let me preach this just for a minute. If we only knew who we had in the boat, we wouldn't worry over if the storm was going to tip us over. If we only knew who we had down here when we come in here, then we'd never worry about what anyone else is doing. But we'd enter in to praise with confidence, because our faith is provoked when we begin to enter in to the Holy Ghost. But clearly the disciples weren't ready to say, "Peace, be still." And some of us are there. We're not ready to look at that problem straight in the eye and say, "Devil, you're going to get off me one way or another." Some of us are still sort of backward to this issue because confidence isn't there yet. Take a child. If you bring a small child into a room full of people they don't know, even though they could be the rowdiest of children, they're hiding behind the only one they think they do know. But leave them there for a little while, and all of a sudden they start getting more comfortable. Start moving around a little more. If you will just let yourself get down in the bottom of that boat and stop keeping the eyes always on the storm. Amen. Down in that boat wasn't just sleep. Down in that boat was peace. Down on the inside of you, no matter what the devil does, is peace. For that is the initial and first purpose of the Comforter. That Comforter came to the disciples as they grieved over the loss of Christ. But in that grief, He said, "If you'll bind together in one place and just hold on, I'll be sending you peace." And in that day, peace entered into the depths of our temple. And He said, "Out of this peace will flow rivers of living water." Who am I talking to tonight? When you will let what is in here begin to come out of you as you obey God, as you recall all the things that God's already done, then you enter, somebody say peace. Somebody say peace. You enter into peace. That's when you know that you're feeling the presence of God. It's the first feeling that's going to come over you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you've not felt that peace in a long time, it's time to get to that bottom of the boat. Amen. Jesus wasn't sitting up at the lookout point on top of the ship. He was in the lowest place. There's something to be said about being willing to be in the low place. Peace is in the low place. Peace is at the bottom. That might sound like we're totally flipping the script on what we've always known. But peace doesn't come when you're on the mountain. Peace comes when you're walking through the valley. For why would we want to, why would we walk in peace when we're in confidence? Peace comes for those that are in weakness, in uncertainty, in confusion. Peace comes to bring a calm to what is trying to provoke you every single day. Peace comes to deliver you out of the enemy speaking to you. That means that we've got to be in the presence of the Holy Ghost as we pray and meditate to be able to speak to our storm. And we're going to do this in a minute. We're going to start speaking to some stuff. Peace, be still. So they bring the master out and he just speaks to it. And all of a sudden, all that trouble. And it's amazing when hindsight comes to us. We can look back on something and see, well, God, you had it in control all along. Lord, even though I thought that there was just no way you're able to help them, you don't have to wait till you're through it to have the vision of seeing it. For God can give you that vision through the Spirit. It says, for by the Spirit we know the will of God. For without it, we won't have the vision to see things that are not as though they are. Anybody in their right mind that's on a boat in the middle of a raging storm, if you ever watch those shows where they go out and do, they fish for the crab, have you seen them do that? Those winds and waters are raging so hard they can barely stay in the same spot for longer than a couple seconds. They're everywhere. And as that boat's rocking, what happens? We'll get seasick. Inner turmoil within the body. And that's what happens to the body of Christ too. If enough of us are in fear and letting ourselves be pulled side, have you ever been on a boat that everybody starts rocking it one way and the other and you're all of a sudden you're like, quit rocking this thing. I'm about to hurl. The boat be rocking. You've got one side of division saying it's somebody else's fault and somebody else saying it's somebody else's fault and nobody willing to find common ground, and all of a sudden the whole body is just sick of being at church, sick of trying, sick of doing anything, sick of making effort, sick and tired of being sick and tired. We get seasick. The Lord didn't want us to be tossed to and fro. For in that place, the enemy comes. We're not only talking to you tonight about finding peace. We're talking to you tonight about getting this boat to finally calm down. And you might think it might be just walking up to somebody and saying, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. But sometimes that's not going to solve it. It starts here. If we block this up, church, we're dry. And I don't know about you, but if I turn on a water hose that the water's not coming out of, I'm not going to just keep standing there waiting for it to come. I'm going to start trying to look for where the kink is. If we have this blocked up by the fears of things, he did not put within us a spirit of fear. So when we walk in fear, we're not walking in peace. That is to say that when we are in fear, that we're not allowing God's Spirit to comfort in an area where it can. I'm certainly not telling you life is without worry, but it can be without fear. We're natural. We wonder where our next paycheck's going to come from. We wonder when our children flee the coop if they're going to grow up to be great people. We wonder when they venture out, are they going to make it? When they start growing up, are they going to stay in church? Are they going to do a great work? Do all that we know to do. And you might be in one of those other little boats seeing the wind shake up another. But you have the dominion to speak to those storms. He said, if you would say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. That means if he would give us the instruction to speak to it, that there's nothing we can't speak to. Even the fullest of things. I've had to speak to my body. I've had to speak to my mind. I've had my hands on the keyboard before and speak to the software I was working on, saying, I'm sick and tired of you not working. Let's get this going. They don't pay me to not do it. They pay me to repair it and fix it and put it back in so it can be back in production. If I didn't get it going after a while, they're not going to trust me to do it. We all want to be doing something, but you've got to be confident in what's in here for God to pour out greater in you. That's why you find a lot of people, they're immediately zealous for God. They're dancing right there with you. Then when the storm comes, buddy, they're gone. It's too hard. Too much persecution. Too many eyes watching. Too many people saying what their opinions and what they think and what could have been better and what should have been done. And too much of that to face to make it worth it. But what did Jesus ask them? He didn't say, why didn't you get the life preservers out? He was asking them, why is your faith so small? Why would you let yourself? That's what I'm asking you tonight. Why will you let yourself continue to sit in a storm without peace? Because you're going to go through it whether you want to or not. But why would you sit in something and not speak peace over it? Why would you not use the faith God has given you to speak to the mountain? Why are we sitting idly by and letting the enemy just beat us up day after day after day and not speaking faith unto the things that we should? There's two kinds of faith. There's a faith that will build up what needs to be built up. Jesus spoke to a fig tree and told it never to bear fruit again, and it never did as long as it sat there. And I'm telling you, sometimes we need to tell the devil, you have bore enough evil fruit on our children, you bore enough evil upon this situation, and I curse this tree that it not bear anymore. Some of us right now need to curse that very thing in the name of Jesus. Just close your eyes right now. God, I believe that you're moving in the things that need to be torn down. We take authority by the power of the Holy Ghost and know, God, that greater are you within us. And greater are you within them. Let these words leave your mouth every day. Let words of faith be what you speak. Call those things that are not. Call to those things that are not. He called Lazarus out. He didn't call to a dead man. He was calling one he knew was alive. The body looked dead. It sure smelled dead. But he didn't speak, well, body, if you're able to get up, would you please come? He spoke by faith unto it and said, come forth. Come forth. We need to speak this to things every single day. Don't wait till church time to have somebody stir up your faith. For if you wait till then, you're already too late. And we're in that other boat. We're so shaken up, Gary. We've been going to church how long? Forever. And yet, After all these years, we still don't seem to know where to go. Still looking for something to happen to make us all of a sudden be fully obedient, 100% yielding, and on fire for God. I wish that it could be that way, but it's not. There's got to be something that will extend or grow your faith. It rains on the just and the unjust. So sometimes the storm is not your fault. I've had two generations of my family go through cancer. And for me, when I had to watch my father go under for surgery and sit there in that chair and wonder what was going to happen, fear tried to creep into me. Because I'm thinking, well, if it's already through two generations, Lord, am I next? Will I also have to bear this burden? But in that moment, as I sat there, I looked down to the bottom of the boat, and I found something that brought me peace. And if the devil tries to come at me with cancer, I'm not afraid. If he tries to steal all the money I've worked for all my life, I'm not afraid, for I'm at peace. If I don't live to see another morning, I'm not worried. I'm at peace. I will not fear, for a perfect love, that means the love of God, which is perfect. It's His love. God's love, when it's wrapped around you, it brings peace. Lord, will I have to go through things? Yes, yes. Why, God? To extend your faith. He said, if you will be a ruler over a few things. And the Lord turned that upside down for me and said, if you'll be willing to be faithful and rebuke the enemy through the things that are around you in your little world, the things that you are in control over, do you understand? If you can put in rebuke and reproof the things that are in your control, then through Him, He gives you dominion over things that are not in your control. If you can learn to let Him help you when you speak, help Him in your actions. If you can let God help you through the things that you're doing every day, then those things that are not as though they are begin to happen. It's not easy to say that you're healed when your body still feels bad. It's not easy to say to a child that's bound by drugs, you're delivered. It's not easy to look out into the storm and say, peace be still. But know that you're not doing it out of your own strength or your own might or your own power. For our ways are not God's ways. His ways are divine. They're above ours. They go far beyond and do far more than anything we could have ever done. So when we're in His presence and we speak with boldness unto the things that are not as though they are, and let God help us daily, then the things that are out of our control begin to come under subjection. I don't know who I'm talking to, but we've got to reform this body to be more yielding unto what God wants us to do, so that when we speak the things that we want to see done, that we don't just live a life of never seeing them, but we'll begin to see things come to pass.